Our Bible reading this morning is from Luke's Gospel. First of all, from Luke 10. If you need a Bible, please raise your hand and a steward would love to bring you one because that will help you to follow our reading. So please do raise your hand if you need a Bible. There's someone in the gallery. Two folk in the gallery need Bibles, please. If the stewards in the gallery could give out Bibles, thank you. And someone over here? Thank you. That's lovely. Luke 10, and we're going to read Luke 10, 21 to 24, which is one of the recorded prayers in the Bible prayed by the Lord Jesus. And then we're also going to read Luke 11, some of that where we find what we call the Lord's Prayer. So first of all, Luke 10 and verse 21. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Then turn over to Luke 11, please, and verse 1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then go down to verse 11. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the word of God. So welcome back to school, the school of prayer for disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we've come to the school of prayer for disciples over the last few weeks, we've discovered really that our attitude is really important. As we come to school, we need to have a humble attitude. First of all, that humble attitude that says, Lord, teach me to pray. I'm the learner. You're the teacher. Please teach me. Then, as we saw last week, we need to have that humble dependence that a child has. Father, I am your child through Jesus. Father, I need you. Father, you are in charge. Now, as we learn from the Lord Jesus about prayer, do you expect to be surprised Do you expect, even this morning, to have your natural way of thinking turned upside down? Until the 16th century, it was commonly thought by most people in the world that the sun and the stars rotated around the earth. Now, that was very flattering for humanity because it put us at the center of everything. But then in 1530, a man called Copernicus came along and he published his discovery that the earth rotates round the sun, not the other way round. And it became known as the Copernican Revolution. And it turned the thinking of the world about the world upside down. Becoming a disciple of Jesus involves our thinking being turned upside down in all sorts of ways. Let me give you a couple of examples. We naturally tend to think that salvation can be achieved or earned by us. But as we listen to Jesus, he turns our thinking upside down and we discover that salvation is a gift that can only be received by faith. We naturally tend to assume that suffering is to be avoided and run away from. But as we listen to our Lord Jesus, we discover that suffering is to be embraced as part of God's good plan. Now, this turning our thinking upside down also happens when we come to prayer. Be honest, please. We are all self-absorbed sinners. And that means that even if we might not say it like this, the way we tend naturally to think about prayer is that prayer is a bit like our personal Aladdin's lamp. And we can rub the lamp as we pray, and then the divine genie, well, his job is to give us what we want. Give me success, give me money, give me a partner, give me health. And although we don't say it, there's almost the attitude of the little child who says, and I want it now. Now, it's no surprise that books and seminars and those kind of things that basically portray that kind of view of prayer as us telling God what we want and expecting him to give it to us, that those sort of things are very popular. But the problem is that that isn't what the Bible teaches about prayer. And the problem is that when people think that's what prayer is and then God doesn't deliver their wants, well, they become cynical both about God and about prayer. And have you ever met someone who said, well, I've tried prayer, but it doesn't work, so I don't bother anymore? As we start this morning to listen to what Jesus teaches about how we should pray, we discover that prayer starts not with us and our needs, but with God and his priorities. Prayer is not about getting God to submit to us and do what we want, but rather prayer is about us learning to submit to him. Will you look, if I put it up on the screen, at the content of the Lord's Prayer as we find it in Luke's Gospel. You'll see that there are five requests. And basically, they split into two parts. There's the first part and there's the second part. The first two requests we could describe as being about God as Lord. The second three requests then are about God as provider. Look, it's very clear. If you notice something, look at the first two requests. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Then look at the third to fifth request. Look at the focus there. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. You see the distinction between the two parts. So the first part of the Lord's Prayer is about God's reputation and God's rule. The second part of the prayer is about our needs, our sins, our temptations. And I'm pretty certain that this order is no accident. Jesus is teaching that the concern about our Father's reputation and our Father's rule must come before concern for ourselves. And the way you and I pray day by day will reflect whether or not we are praying as Jesus calls us to pray. Our natural self-absorption makes us far more concerned about the provision of bread, about forgiveness, about protection from evil, far more concerned than God's reputation and rule. Now, it's not that those things aren't important. It's not that they aren't things that we can't pray for. But we need to make sure that we get our priorities in prayer right. That we recognize those things that are of first importance. So come with me to the first part of the Lord's Prayer. Father, hallowed be your name. I think I've probably known these four words almost all of my life. In fact, because I went to school in Scotland, where there was a very strong Presbyterian feel about everything as I grew up, it meant that every day at school, in both the schools I went to in Scotland, the day started every morning, we sang a hymn, we heard a reading from the Bible, and these were in state schools, and then we said the Scottish version of the Lord's Prayer together, every morning. So I don't know how many times I have said out loud, hallowed be your name. But I think that this is one of these phrases that a lot of us say, but we've never really thought about what the words mean. In fact, and I won't name and shame, but I was chatting to two of the elders of this church this week. And I asked them, I said, you know, have you ever really thought about what it means when we pray, hallowed be your name? And they were very honest. And they said, well, do you know, I'm not sure I've really ever thought about it very much. So let this morning me ask and answer three questions. First of all, what, then why, and thirdly, how. What are we asking when we pray, hallowed be your name? Why is this the first request that Jesus says we should make in prayer? And how, as we pray it, should we expect our Heavenly Father to answer this prayer? First of all, then, what? What does it mean? Well, let me summarize and then explain why I summarize like this. Here, I think, is what it means. When we pray, Father, hallowed be your name, we're praying, Father, show yourself to be holy. Nathan said the word hallowed is a bit tricky. I don't think it is, actually. Sorry, Nathan. It's just we haven't thought about it enough. Because the word hallowed means, hang on, we'll put it down there. The word hallowed means to be holy, to make holy. It means to set apart from God. Elsewhere, it's translated in our Bibles, sanctify. And it belongs to that group of words like holy, sacred, sanctification, saints. It's the idea of being the opposite of common. Let me give you an example that you'll get. Until, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago, Kate Middleton was a commoner. She was just like the rest of us, an ordinary citizen of the United Kingdom. But then what happened? Well, she became hallowed, didn't she? She was made different. She was set apart as different as she was married to the future king of the United Kingdom. She's now a princess, a duchess. Now, that is the idea here. To hallow something is for it to be set apart from what is common. Now, normally in the Bible, almost exclusively, to hallow something is an act of God. Or it is done in response to a command from God. But what are we asking God to hallow? Oh, hallowed be your name. And your name, the Bible says, when it comes to God, is all that he has revealed himself to be. If I was to ask you this morning, put your hand up, have you physically seen God? None of us would be able to put our hands up. But God has chosen, in fact, it's his delight, the Bible says, to put himself on display. He does it in a number of ways, but one of the ways he loves to put himself on display is by giving us names that describe him. And there are a huge number of names that he gives us so that we might see what it's like. It's as if he's painting a portrait of himself that we might really get who he is. I wonder how many names of God you could suggest this morning from his words. There are loads. He's the Lord, the Creator, the Ruler, the King, the Shepherd, the Redeemer, the Provider, the Helper, the Comforter, the Rock, the Light, the Wise One. He is Love. He is the Just Judge. He is the Savior. We could go on. By his names, he's painting a picture for us, a picture then that is, as it were, fleshed out in the person of the Lord Jesus who came to make him known. And so our Father's name is all that he is. In his perfection, in his uniqueness, in his glory, which is another word the Bible uses to sum up all that God is. It's all that we see of God in Jesus, and most clearly in his death, in the place of sinners on the cross. So let's put it together. As I bow my head each morning and pray, "Hallowed be your name," well, what am I saying? I'm saying, "Father, show yourself. Show all that you are as revealed in Jesus to be unique, to be utterly different, to be immeasurably greater than every other being in the universe. Father, in a world where many people want to reduce you to being just like someone or something else, would you act to put your uniqueness and your greatness on display? Father, in a society where millions is spent on self-promotion, as people and as companies care for and project their reputation, that they might be known, Father, I care about your reputation more than my own reputation. Father, where you're so often misrepresented, please would you show yourself to be holy, to be all that you are." And this isn't a new prayer. Scan the Psalms, for example. Hear the psalmist Asaph say, "Help us, God our Saviour, for the glory of your name." In other words, that your being, your character will be put on display. David, "But you, sovereign Lord, help me for your name's sake, that your name will be put on display." David again, "For your name's sake, Lord, preserve my life." And as we pray, "Hallowed be your name," we are praying in line with God's great purpose. We read the Bible. We discover the way that God has acted through human history. Why has he acted through human history? Or why did he send his Son from heaven into this world? That he might be revealed. That he might be put on display to us. But that does raise the question. Why? And the answer, I think, can be expressed like this. Father, show yourself to be holy so that you are treated as you ought to be treated by everyone, everywhere. I don't know about you, but if I love someone, it does mean I care about their reputation. So, for example, I love my dad. That means I care about the reputation of my dad. I love my colleagues with whom I work. It means I care about their reputation. And if we are those who have become children of our Heavenly Father through the Lord Jesus, then actually part of loving him is that we care about his reputation. And if we care about his reputation, that he should be put on display to this world, then what we're saying is, Father, we want you to be put on display so that then people will treat you the way you ought to be treated, as God. Now, we might use other ways of putting this. We may talk about giving God the respect he deserves or worshipping him with right reverence, but you get the idea. But even that may seem a bit kind of, well, I can't quite grab it. What does that really mean in practice? Two things. Firstly, to treat God as he ought to be treated means that he should be trusted. The reason why God wants all that he is, his name, to be put on display, is that we men might rely on what he's revealed of himself. In the Old Testament, in Genesis 4, we have the first description of prayer. And we're told this: at that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. In other words, they began to rely on what God has revealed about himself. Let's give it a try, shall we? Think of a name by which God has chosen to reveal himself. Let's start with the name Shepherd. We're all familiar. The Lord is my shepherd. Why has God revealed himself as shepherd? That we might trust him as shepherd. That we might call on him as shepherd. That we might say, God, you have revealed yourself as shepherd, so I rely on you. Please would you guide me? Please would you protect me? Please would you feed me? Please would you restore me? You get the idea? Think of another title that God has revealed himself by. He's revealed himself as the just judge. Lord, thank you that you've revealed yourself as the just judge. Thank you that that's one of your names. Lord, I call on you. I trust you that you'll always do what is right. Lord, I find that often I'm really bothered about what other people think of me, but you are the just judge, and therefore I rely on you because it's your assessment of me that matters, not the assessment of others, other people around me. Lord, I trust your judgment, not the judgment of others. You getting the idea? Then one of the names that we're most familiar with, the name Saviour. Lord, I call on you as Saviour through the Lord Jesus, who came into the world as the Saviour of sinners. Lord, I trust you that you are able to do, to save everyone who calls on your name. Do you get the idea? There's a lovely verse in Proverbs. Proverbs 4:10, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. And you see, that's what we're praying will happen. As we pray, Father, hallowed be your name. We're praying, Father, put yourself on display so that people will trust you as you really are. And therefore, that you might also be praised or proclaimed. I've put it like that because in the Bible, praise and proclamation aren't different things. They're the same thing. See, what does it mean to praise someone? It means to speak well of them. It means to proclaim who they are, what they are. So when we pray, hallowed be your name, we're praying, Father, may you be spoken well of. May you be praised for all that you are. It means we're praying, Lord, may you be spoken accurately about and not misrepresented as you often are. Would you be spoken of with respect, with reverence and with awe? Or would that be true, Father, in general speech? Would that be true in public worship? Would that be true in evangelism? If you know the Bible, your mind might be going somewhere. Your mind might be going to the third commandment. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. As we pray, hallowed be your name, we are praying that we would keep and that third commandment would be kept. But how? How can we expect, as we pray this prayer, and please remember it is a prayer, how can we expect God our Father to answer this prayer as we pray it? And the answer is this: His name is hallowed through His hallowed children. That is through the disciples of the Lord Jesus. What is a disciple of Jesus? A disciple is someone who's been set apart as a child of God through the work of Jesus on the cross and the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. Remember what the word hallow means. It means to sanctify, to set apart. Come with me, will you, in your imagination, to that night before Jesus dies on the cross. In John's Gospel, in John chapter 17, we have the longest recorded prayer of Jesus in the Gospels. And it is as he anticipates the cross. Listen how he starts his prayer. John 17, verse 1. Father, the time has come. He's talking about the cross. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. He could just as well have said, hallowed be your name. Because what the Lord Jesus was saying was, he was saying, Lord, would you put, or Father, would you put all I am on display? Because as all that I am is put on display, well, all that you are is put on display. And that's what I'm longing will happen as I go to the cross. And then as his prayer continues, he says this very interesting thing. This is the prayer of Jesus. He says, for them, and he's talking about the disciples, for them I sanctify myself that they too may be truly sanctified. Let's insert our word. For them I hallow myself that they too may be truly hallowed. What was about to happen? The Lord Jesus was about to set himself apart to do a unique thing. It certainly wasn't a common thing. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus was about to set himself apart as the sin bearer, as the wrath taker, as he took upon himself all the wrath of God that I deserve for not giving God his right place in my life. And in doing that, he was most hallowing his Father's name, because he was putting all the wonderful characteristics of his Father on display. But why did he do it? He did it to hallow his disciples. He did it to set his disciples apart as children of God, who would then start to treat their Father as they ought to treat him, who would start to care about and pray for and live for the hallowing of their Father's name, who would start to learn that living life isn't about, well, what kind of reputation do I have, and working hard that others will have a good opinion of me, but rather life would become all about saying, no, Lord, I want your reputation to be honored in this world. That's what I care about most. I don't mind what people think about me, but Father, I want them to treat you as you ought to be treated. And so as we pray this prayer, hallowed be your name. How can we expect God to answer it? Well, first, by setting apart sinners as his children, as the gospel is preached through faith in Jesus Christ. And then, equipping those who are set apart as his children to live as his hallowed children. Because it's through them that God puts his name on display. Look down at Luke 11. Look again down at verse 13. I love verse 13. Jesus says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" If we're disciples of the Lord Jesus this morning, we are the hallowed, set-apart children of God. And by the Holy Spirit, even as we pray this prayer, "Father, hallowed be your name," he is the Father who gives us his Spirit, that then we might live as his holy children and put him on display. And as I thought about it, it struck me that it turns the ordinary, the common, into the extraordinary and holy. On Friday morning, we had the daytime table talk. Mostly, and I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but mostly those who come on a Friday morning, mostly, are those who might be called our senior, some of our senior members. And I was really encouraged on Friday morning. I am always encouraged, but I was encouraged on Friday morning because two of our more senior ladies, as we were talking, they told us about conversations they had had on the bus, in which they had invited the people they'd spoken on the bus to come to church. Now think about it. Getting a bus is a pretty ordinary thing, isn't it? Sitting down next to someone on the bus who you've never seen before, that's a pretty ordinary thing. But you see, I don't know whether they prayed the Lord's Prayer that day. Don't have to pray the exact words, by the way. But hallowed be your name. How was the Father's name hallowed? Well, as those two ordinary ladies who are disciples of Jesus simply took the opportunity to invite someone else to church. What are they doing? They're being used by our Heavenly Father in answer to this prayer. Because he wants to use his hallowed children that others would come to know him and become his hallowed children. You got the idea? So praying, "Hallowed be your name," includes praying, "Father, would you use me by your Spirit to put yourself on display?" Is this how you pray? Do you just jump in and pray about your own needs? I've discovered that seeking to use the Lord's Prayer a bit more, because I'm preaching on it personally, has helped me to get new perspective in praying day by day. If you're not yet a Christian, I have to tell you, it's impossible for you to pray like this until you first come to know God as your Father. But I want to tell you that you could come to know God as your Father this morning through the Lord Jesus. You may say, "Well, how?" Well, call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Ask him to reveal his Father to you and to save you, and he will, and you will become one of God's set-apart children. But if we're already his hallowed children, can I ask you, are you learning to pray like this? As we pray like this, it reminds us of what's most important. It reminds us of how Jesus lived his life. It reminds us how we are called to live our lives. I have a list of people that I pray for every day at the moment. Some of those people I prayed for are pretty seriously ill. Father, hallowed be your name. Would you reveal yourself in some way to them today that they would trust you as you've revealed yourself to be? There's other people I pray for, and they are having severe relationship problems. Father, hallowed be your name. Would you reveal yourself to these friends that they might trust you as you've revealed yourself to be? And would you use them to put yourself on display? There's others who are having great difficulty in their workplace. It's just tough. Father, hallowed be your name. Reveal yourself to them that they might trust you, and through them, even in their difficulty, even in what may be severe suffering, would you actually, perhaps without knowing them, be putting yourself on display? Father, hallowed be your name. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you've not left us into the dark as to what you're like, but you have revealed your name, your character to us, most of all in the person of your Son, our Lord Jesus. Father, thank you that the Lord Jesus came into the world to sanctify himself as he went to the cross, that sinners like us might become your sanctified, your hallowed children. Father, please would you forgive us if our priorities in prayer have not been the priorities Jesus teaches us to have. Father, please may the passion of our heart be that you and your name are hallowed. Would you show yourself through us, your people, to be all that you are in all your holiness, that you would be treated as you ought to be treated by everyone, everywhere. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.